MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Now, a new book by investigative journalist Peter du Toit, titled The Dark Prince, lays bare the rise of Paul Mashatile, tracing his three-decade climb through the ranks of the ANC amid factionalism, alleged patron networks and controversy. And the big question it poses: should Mashatile be president of South Africa? And if he is, what kind of era might that usher in? It's an important book and an important debate. And we're joined now by Peter to dig into what his book uncovers and perhaps more importantly, what it means for our country going forward. Peter, in the book, and welcome to you, you say that Paul Mashatile, the deputy president, has, and I quote, navigated corruption and factionalism. What best illustrates that modus operandi?
Hello, Jeremy, and thanks for having me. Look, Mashatile has been at the center of various patronage and concentric networks of patronage for years. And he's always been a degree or two removed from outright allegations of corruption. But I think latterly, the best way in which to illustrate that is the fact that he lives in two multi-million rand mansions in Waterfall, north of Johannesburg, and one in Constantia in Cape Town, which has a combined value of 65 million rands, paid for by his son-in-law, who has in the past received quite significant largesse from the Gauteng provincial government when Mashatile was MEC in that government. So it shows that he's, the way in which he organizes his life, arranges his life, his personal life. There are a number of other examples of, as well, where his personal life is supported by people around him, where they pay for stuff. People around him pay for stuff like cars for girlfriends, like restaurants, lavish dinners, so on and so forth. He's very close to Edwin Sodi, one of the country's premier tenderpreneurs. So he finds himself in the middle of these networks of patronage, and he often and regularly benefits from those networks, Jeremy.
But how does he stay removed, one step out of the orbit, so to speak?
For example, when in 2017, 2018, he was a regular visitor to a very exclusive and upmarket restaurant in Johannesburg in Melrose Arch called the SA Wine Bank, where you had to pay a membership fee. You had access to some of the top wines in the world, top chefs. And he was a regular visitor there, but he never, ever paid a single bill as far as our investigations are concerned and as far as we've been able to ascertain. It's always been paid in cash by people around him. A guy like Paul Murane, who was a businessman and a former ANC mayor of Johannesburg, was someone that was known to foot the bills for these lavish dinners, lavish lunches. So you won't find his name on an EFT. But what it does show you is that these networks, these patronage networks, individuals that often and sometimes rely on state contracts for their own personal progression in life and wealth, you know, are the individuals that keep on funding the lifestyle of Paul Mashatile. And that's the problem, Jeremy. We saw this with the rise of Jacob Zuma 20 years ago, when he was beholden to interests outside of the national or the public interest. And I fear that we're seeing it coming to the fore again with someone like Mashatile.
In fact, Peter, you warn of a possible Zuma 2.0 moment. So what would make that real, and what, if anything, in your opinion, could stop it?
Jamie, I do think that Paul Mashatile is the undisputed front runner to succeed Cyril Ramaphosa as the ANC's leader. The ANC's next national elective conference happens in 2027. At the end of this year, we've got the midterm conference, the so-called National General Council, which is normally the ANC gathering, which is considered a coming out for prospective candidates. And I think Mashatile is far and away the front runner to succeed Ramaphosa. There's really no one else at this stage that I can see that is A, either challenging him in the moment, or B, that has the wherewithal, the resources, and the backing to challenge him in future. The names that are being mentioned is someone like Fikile Mbalula, Nomvula Mokonyane is another name that's being bandied about at the moment. But no one really has the depth of experience in the ANC, the ability to work branches, and the ability to corral support in a national conference type setting that Mashatile has. So that's where we're headed at the moment. And when you talk about a Zuma 2.0 moment, I do think that Mashatile comes from the patronage network tradition of the ANC, comes from Gauteng, which, as we know, is riven with corruption, with extraction networks. And that's the tradition where Mashatile comes from. He subscribes to that type of politics where you see public resources being extracted from the public purse, being recycled and reworked back into the party. And I think if we see Mashatile becoming the ANC leader, I really do think that we're going to see a Zuma 2.0.
So tell us then why a potential presidency of the country should matter to ordinary South Africans and where your concerns are.
Well, the big challenge for Paul Mashatile, of course, is if and should he become ANC president, he's going to have to arrest the electoral decline of the party. There's a very real chance in future that the party might dip even below the 40% that it did receive in the last general election. But if the ANC remains the largest formation in a government of a coalition government, we've got the government of national unity, of course, at the moment, then there's a very good chance that he might become head of state. And Jeremy, then all these patronage networks, also exemplified by his main network, which is the so-called Alex Mafia, which has been around him since the mid-1980s, will move with him to the union buildings. And if history teaches us anything in this country is that the years of state capture, when we saw the private and vested interests of people like the Guptas, when those vested interests attaches its claws to the union buildings, then you see the large-scale extraction of resources. And I think there's a very real fear that we need to take note of, that should Paul Mashatile ascend to the union buildings, we might see a repeat of the years between 2009 and 2018.
And do you think, and a final question, those forces are starting to gather, whether it be in a secretive or opaque way, is he starting to think about shaping ANC power structures and moving towards a more direct challenge?
Undoubtedly, when he was elected deputy president in 2022 at NASREC, his aides and his advisors were very clear in explaining to the gathered journalists that he wasn't beholden to anyone, and he wasn't beholden to Cyril Ramaphosa, that he had the ability, and that he did corral enough support amongst branches to be elected off his own bat. Over the last 18 months, certainly, it seems like President Cyril Ramaphosa has given Mashatile enormous exposure and given him some responsibilities that Ramaphosa didn't even have when he was deputy president under Zuma. So, for example, he's in charge of intergovernment or relations between partners in the GNU. He's head of the so-called clearinghouse, which is supposed to manage relations between the different constituent parties. He has conducted official visits to Japan, to Russia, to France, to the UK. He's been an envoy to London to go and see the high priests of capital at the merchant banks and the ratings agencies over there. So it's almost been a coming out of sorts over the last 18 months as a statesman, and within the ANC as deputy president and as a former acting secretary general, he knows the party machinery inside out. And that is a massive advantage for anyone who sets his sights on the party leadership, Jeremy.
The book is called The Dark Prince. It's the unofficial biography, I guess, of Paul Mashatile, and the author is Peter du Toit. Peter, thank you very much.